So as Father Chaz mentioned at the beginning of Mass, we're going to be doing a four-week homily series on the Mass, on what it is that we experience when we come here every Sunday as a way to help us deepen our life of faith with the Lord and to walk more clearly in the path of His love, which is poured forth before us in such a magnificent way here. You see, but the Mass is a very sort of interesting animal, because the Mass is cloaked in mystery. And so it's kind of like the experience of perhaps a seven-year-old who goes to a big symphony hall and listens to Beethoven's Ninth. And at the end of that symphony, mom and dad says to the child, "What did you think?" And the child says, "Well, I was kind of bored." And to that child I say, "Beethoven is not boring, you're boring. It's a beautiful symphony." Ah, but if the child does not have eyes to see or ears to hear, it's very possible that they may encounter something of true beauty and not even know it, though it is before them. And the same is true for us here in Mass. When I was thinking about these next 4 weeks of homilies, I quickly felt overwhelmed, and I thought to myself, how do you possibly exhaustively explain the Mass? You just can't do it. It's kind of like someone walking up to you and saying, "Hey, the whole history of Western civilization, I'd like you to go ahead and speak about that in 4 12-minute speeches, if you could." That's just not going to happen. So there's no way that in the next 4 weeks I'm going to be able to speak exhaustively about what happens here. So what I decided to do was to focus each week on a singular word that might illuminate for us the part of the Mass that we are preaching on that week. And so this week we're preaching on an introductory to the Mass in general, but also the introductory rites, what happens when we first come in. And I would have had this for you on this beautiful PowerPoint slide, but I didn't quite finish it, so you can't see it right now, but you're going to have to imagine a very beautiful PowerPoint that's following along. I'm going to have that for the next 3 weeks, just as a heads up, Owen. But we don't have it today, so I'm sorry about that. Today's word for the introductory rites of the Mass is the word mystery. Mystery. Mystery, I think, is a very appropriate word for us to speak about the Mass in general, about what it actually is. What do we mean by that word, mystery? Well, in the Christian sense of that word, mystery is, you know, not something that's never going to make sense or something that's like, you know, totally unreasonable or these things that are kind of unanswerable, these paradoxical questions that don't have answers. That's not mystery. Mystery in the Christian sense of the word is this: the human experience of the divine life of God. When we talk about a mystery in the truest sense of that word, we're talking about us entering into the divine mystery of God. So when we're talking about mystery, when we're talking about the Holy Mass as a divine mystery, that comes to us in some very basic ways, in every way that every divine mystery, every experience of God comes to us. Because whenever we encounter divine mystery, we're encountering principally something that God has done. Very basic. Something that God has done. I did not make up the Mass. Our bishop did not make up the Mass. St. Peter did not make up the Mass. The Mass is a creation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Mass is a creation of God Himself for us. And because it's a divine mystery, every divine mystery comes to us in ways that are visible and invisible. Whenever we encounter divine mystery, we encounter a work of God that is at the same time visible and invisible. And in fact, this is one of the ways in which we describe the sacraments. We know this as Catholics, right? As Catholics, we have 7 sacraments. 7 very special principal ways in which we encounter divine mystery, which is the life of God within us. And when we define what a sacrament is, we use these very words. We say that a sacrament is a visible thing that communicates an invisible reality. A visible sign that signifies and brings about invisibly the very thing that it's saying. Like, for example, in the Mass, when we use those words, "This is my body," those words aren't just words. They literally signify the very thing that happens next invisibly, which is the transformation of the bread and the wine into the body and blood. So you and I, when we come to Mass every Sunday, we are entering into a mystery. We're entering into God's divine life, something that He has done for us in a way that is both visible and invisible at the same time. And in fact, the Mass of all things is the most particular communication, experience, communion in the divine mystery. Why? Because every time that you and I come into Mass, this moment is the focal point of every single thing that ever is. When you and I come into Mass, we enter into something that touches the whole of creation, the whole of human history, past, present, and future, and heaven. All of creation, all of human history, and heaven itself. That is the Mass. That is the Catholic Mass. Every time we celebrate this, this is what is before us. It's before us, as we heard in the scriptures, with the eyes of faith, because faith believes in what is not seen. Faith sees what is to the body invisible, but to the soul always present. And the church building itself communicates this reality to us. You see, because when we enter into the work of God, which is divine, we enter into this place which is a representation of the very thing that God told His people Israel to do, which was to worship Him in the temple. And so every time that we walk into a Catholic church, we are walking into God's temple, which at one time in history was only in one place, in Jerusalem. But now God's temple is in all places and in all times, because the Catholic Mass envelops everything. You see, even the very architecture of the church speaks to us about the invisible realities that are present. The very shape of the church, which is cruciform, right? Which is the very sign of the cross, the very sign of what saves us. And these walls and these vaulted ceilings, which create this reverberation that you hear, is meant to evoke the eternal, such that when I speak, you don't just hear my voice. You hear my voice, and then you keep hearing my voice. And the way that it reverberates through the space. Because the Mass is a cosmic reality that transcends time and space, even though it enters into this moment. You see, when we enter into the Catholic Mass, we walk into the liturgy of heaven. We walk into heaven, mystically. That's where we are. That's why if you ever ask anybody the question, hey, do you want to go to heaven someday? And they say yes, you should say, well, then go to Mass. Because that's what Mass is. It's heaven. Come here. So we walk and we use our Christian imagination as we see these visible things before us, which bespeak the invisible realities of us walking into, literally, the heavenly court. The heavenly court, just as it was modeled in the Jerusalem temple, the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. You think the vestibule is just a place that keeps the cold air out? No, there's actually a theology of the vestibule, even that. Even the vestibule was the place which was called the outer court of the temple in Jerusalem. The Gentiles could go there if they wanted to worship God, but they couldn't enter anymore. They had to stay in the vestibule. But the inner court, which is all here in the nave, this was for the Jewish people only. Only true believers of Israel could enter into the inner court. So we went from the outside world into the outer court, where even the Gentiles worship, into the inner court, where true worship by the people of God is performed. And in this sanctuary, in a mirror of the Temple of Jerusalem, was the Holy of Holies, the outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies. But you see, the Holy of Holies was hidden by a veil. Nobody could see this. This was not allowed to be seen, not even by the priests, except one. Only the high priest was able to enter into the sanctuary. And he could only do it once a year for a very short period of time. But what was the Holy of Holies in the temple? That was the place where God dwelt on earth. It was the dwelling place of God where the Ark of the Covenant was placed. And God said, I dwell. My presence is on the Ark of the Covenant. That's why people had to go to Jerusalem, to the temple, to where God dwelled, so that they could worship God where God dwelled. But then came Jesus. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, what happens in that gospel story? After Jesus died in the temple, the veil, it says, was split from top to the bottom in two. The veil was opened so that what was hidden from view became manifest to everybody, became accessible to everybody. And so when we walk into the church, we walk into not only the outer court, not only the inner court, but we see the very sanctuary of heaven where God is made present literally. Because that's the Mass. We walk into the place that touches all of the universe, all of human history, and heaven itself. It's like walking into a galaxy and seeing it from the top and watching all of it swirl around this one central point, and you're just in awe of the beauty of it. And if we have the eyes of faith, we see ourselves walk into that every Sunday. It's one of the reasons we dress the way that we do. Father Chaz talks about the way that the priest dresses. We have this thing on the bottom. This is called an alb. It's white. You want to know why it's white? Because this is the baptismal garment. This is the garment that you received at your baptism. After you were baptized, you received an outward sign of your inward dignity, which the very words of the baptismal rite say. And so when a priest walks into the heavenly liturgy, even as it says in scriptures, who is it that's in heaven? The ones who wear the white garments. The ones who have their robes that were washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so when the priest walks in wearing the baptismal garment, which is why it's always an appropriate thing to wear white on Sundays when you come to church. One of these cool pieces of Catholic trivia, if you've never heard this before, the second Sunday of Easter in ancient times had a very particular name. It was called Domenica in Albis, the Sunday in white. Because the ancient tradition of the church was that when you were a catechumen and you were baptized, you received your baptismal garment on the day of your baptism, which was Easter. And then you would wear your baptismal garment all week. And on the second Sunday of Easter, you would come to church for the first Sunday after your baptism in your baptismal garment, wearing white as you entered into the heavenly liturgy. And so this really explains, it starts to explain why the Mass is structured the way that it is. Because even the structure is not man-made. We didn't make up the order of Mass. God created that. And so when we walk into Mass, and we walk into literally the greatest of cosmic realities that spans all times in all places and even enters into heaven itself, what is the response of the human soul when we enter into such majesty? We immediately recognize our unworthiness. Have you ever felt unworthy before? I hope you have. It's a very humbling feeling to feel unworthy. And we can feel unworthy for a lot of reasons. Maybe you felt unworthy on the day of your wedding, when you were either standing up here as the groom or coming up as the bride, and you looked at your spouse perhaps and you said, I don't deserve them. It's very humbling to receive that gift that we feel unworthy of. Now, I've never been married, so I haven't had that experience. Maybe there was a moment in your life, I know there's been moments in my life, you know, when we biff it pretty bad and we walk away from something that we should not have walked away from. We made a huge mistake. We did wrong in a way that was very serious. And afterwards, how did we feel? We felt unworthy. We felt like we weren't even worthy to be in God's presence. But see, we even know this from the time that we're children. When you are a child, or if you have children and your children get in trouble, or you got in trouble as a child, did you want to be anywhere near your mom and dad? No, it's like inborn into us, our unworthiness. And so what's the first thing that we do when we come to Mass? When we rise before God's presence and we behold the majesty that is available to the eyes of faith, we cross ourselves with a sign of the covenant and we immediately say, I am not worthy to be here. That's why we have the Confiteor at the very beginning of Mass. The very first thing, when we say, I confess. We say that because we recognize the reality that is before us. That we stand before God Almighty, and nobody is worthy to stand before God Almighty. Not even me, especially not me, who have to stand up here and be in the place of Jesus himself. That's very humbling. And so the human response is not even to confess other people's sins. We don't blame each other. We blame ourselves. We don't say, I confess their sins. We say, I confess my sinfulness. And as we do that, we open ourselves to the greatest attribute to God which comes to us in the Mass, which is the gift of divine mercy. You see, because as soon as we confess our sins with a contrite heart, God himself says in the scriptures that he will not reject that. God accepts true contrition of the heart. And God gives us the mercy that we seek so that we can enter into the mystery of the Mass with a pure conscience. Which is exactly why St. Paul says, if you have anything against your brothers and sisters, go settle that first and then come back and bring your offering. Don't come to the Mass if you are not worthy. And so we don't. We come to the Mass sinful and we confess our sins. And the very next thing that happens in Mass is that we proclaim the mercy of God, because God accepts our confession. And so we pray, and on Sundays we sing the Gloria, which is one of the most ancient symbols, which is one of the most ancient songs in the Christian liturgy. It's been around since at least the second century. Everything that we say on that Sunday, glory to God in the highest. Why? Because I've confessed my sins and he accepts my contrition. When I come in my unworthiness and I behold the mercy of God for my unworthiness, my very next proclamation is glory to the one who shows me mercy. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to people of goodwill. And we say, we praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We say, Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. That song is not something that we just pray because it's the next thing that happens. It's the very response that comes forth in the human soul so that we can participate in mystery. So that through visible means, God works in our souls invisibly in a way that gives us true divine life. And we have this opportunity every Sunday. In fact, every day if we wanted to come to Mass. And so what a glorious thing it is to behold that, to think about that. Do you and I give ourselves that opportunity when we enter into this sacred space? When we walk into this church, do we use our Christian imagination as every child uses their imagination on Christmas? Did you have this experience where you had a niece or nephew or a grandson or granddaughter that opened a gift, put the gift aside, and then played with the box? Why was the box more interesting than the toy? Because the box is what allows me to use my true imagination, which beholds me much more than anything visible could ever do. And so you and I, as we walk into this church every Sunday, do we see ourselves walking into heaven? Do we see ourselves, do we feel ourselves walking into God's sanctuary, beholding the very veil of the temple that has been thrown open, so that what was covered from everyone's eyes is now made visible before us in the sacrifice of Jesus, which is represented for us here. That when we truly look at the bread and the wine, made the body and blood, we see God himself. We see God himself. Next week, we're going to move on to the next part of Mass and speak about the liturgy of the word, about why it is that we hear from God's Holy Scripture, and why it is that word is explained to us in the homily, and how that matters in our worship and in our entering into this mystery. And so we give ourselves to this divine imagination, to this Christian imagination, which helps us to receive the mystery, the divine life of Jesus Christ.